We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
505 on the dot, DZS. Gene Evans and Ian Mackey here for the think tank. So you guys were discussing primaries and Hancock and Kelly. Anytime I bring up a problem, primaries. Why do we need them? Is this anachronistic? Is there something about primaries I'm missing?
Well, that's how the parties determine who their candidates should be. And actually, like in other states, they do some things differently. Like you have to gather signatures to even get your name on a ballot. In some states, they have runoffs where you have to get 50% plus one in order to get the nominee. So sometimes that process can be several primaries. And here, if you have five or six people in a primary, like we did in the U.S. Senate race and some of these state Senate races, you can win with 30% of the vote. So most of the districts now are what we call safe. Like once you get to November, they've already pretty much been decided by demographics because more than 50%, significantly more than 50% of the people there always vote a certain way. In Missouri, I could tell you from working for the party, we know where the swing districts are. The majority of them are in St. Louis County. They're in the suburbs. Most of them were in the old CD2. And other than that, there just aren't many. I mean, there are a few precincts here and there, but most of the state, I could tell you which precinct and how they're going to vote. And so campaigns are kind of run around that. And the primaries, the folks that come out are the people who are the most virulent, strongest, most extreme, and that's who votes. So that's the government we get because those are the ones picking in the primary, and that's who we end up in the general because most of the time the general's been decided. Well, general was probably pretty much decided at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in one of those seats that's, you know, decided in August, and, you know, especially with no incumbent. And then once there's an incumbent, it's just, for the most part, you know, there's a few surprises always here and there, but for the most part, you know where the chips are going to fall. And, you know, a lot of states are moving to either ranked choice voting or approval voting, or they're moving to the top four, you know, making it to a runoff or the top two. And you know, I mean, we should look at that. We had a proposal actually that started signatures to do ranked choice voting that just last week, I think, failed to gather enough signatures to make it to the ballot for approval from voters. And I don't know if that's the perfect solution necessarily, but I do think certainly some sort of runoff system is important. And also the calendar is an issue. The primaries are in August. They're the first Tuesday in August. They're not, elections aren't on the minds of folks.
Vacations, kids back to school.
Getting ready for school, all of that is just not a good time to hold elections.
Let's talk about Wyoming. I'm so intrigued by Liz Cheney. I mean, it's crazy. It's like if I'd been in a coma for 10 years, I'd wake up and they're like, yeah, Dick Cheney, way too liberal. I'm like, put me back to sleep. I mean, so first of all, do you think Liz Cheney has a chance?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Doesn't seem like it.
Mm-mm.
Do you, she could be either, your gut will, in 20 years, it be, thank God for Liz Cheney. The third party wouldn't exist without her. Or it would just be like, remember Liz Cheney? She'll just be persona non grata.
Yeah, I kind of think so. The party's changed significantly. I know you've probably had John Lamping on to talk about how it's become very populist. But even like the demographics, so now we see like if you went back 20 years ago, the average income for a Republican voter was higher than a Democrat voter. That's changed. More and more union people, especially private unions where you're talking about tradespeople, vote Republican. Former President Trump really are focused on the forgotten working man, and the Democrat Party has shifted into something different too. And so those voters are looking for a different kind of leader.
Have they kind of traded?
In some respects they have, and in others they haven't. So they're and in some things, like, it's hard to tell what they're really doing because you look at this, like, they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. I don't know how you come up with that name. I guess it sounds good. It really does tax working people. But if you can convince people that it doesn't, then it really doesn't matter what it does. It matters what they believe, right? So that's what really counts. And so that's what you see. But sometimes you lose control of that messaging, which a year ago in Afghanistan, I would say that was sort of like the beginning of the downturn for the Biden administration. And it was something that no matter how they tried to spin it, the images were there on TV and you couldn't get away from it. And so that's the kind of thing, whether you agree with them, us pulling out of Afghanistan or not, watching the debacle and seeing the loss of American lives really impacted this administration. And it's been hard for them to pull any, even this messaging thing that they're doing. Maybe he goes up in the polls a point or two, but it's been a steady decline since then.
Yeah.
The Inflation Reduction Act provides a boatload of tax credits to working Americans who are interested in renewing in renewable energy, putting solar panels on their homes, buying an electric car. The Chevy Volt costs.
Most people cannot afford
the Chevy Volt costs $28,000. You get $4,000 from the federal government as an incentive to buy that car. That is an affordable car that requires not an ounce of gasoline. This is a awesome bill for working Americans, and it's a bill that Liz Cheney voted against, which is why she's not my favorite member of Congress when it comes to how she votes on legislation. But to your prior question, my gosh, I hope every kid who graduates from college 20 years from now, I hope every kid who goes into politics in the next generation knows who Liz Cheney is. My gosh, there are profiles in Courage, and then there are folks who just deserve, just all the books, all the awards, a Nobel Prize for what she's done. I mean, she has put her entire career, her entire life's work on the line to do the right thing. We could all be so fortunate to put ourselves in those shoes.
Let's go 30,000 foot view. I know that Democrats and Republicans differ wildly on highfalutin financial kinds of things. But let's talk social. Let's talk morals and such. It seems to me that one of the problems we have is that we're not trying to govern. We're trying to govern each other. We're trying to force people into something. So is this negotiable at all? Like gay marriage, for example. Could you sit down if you were the Republican and you were the Democrat and say, okay, you don't have to like it, but just let me. Like, you see what I'm saying?
I do sort of see what you're saying. I mean, there is a lot of, it sounds very conservative what you're putting forward. And I think that's, there has been this realignment in the parties where a lot of Democrats I know are really asking for the conservative position. They're asking for the position to not have politicians in Jefferson City deciding what books are on every single bookshelf in every single school, deciding what kids can and can't read, deciding what sports they can and can't play in every single school district. There's plenty of, just let me live my life, just live and let be, whether you call it libertarian or conservative. That is, I think, an approach that used to be an approach you found on the right as the left continued to push for more regulations or to push for more, government involvement. There has been a realignment on that because of policies mostly in the moral space, the Dobbs decision outlawing abortion without exceptions for rape and incest, because of issues that were that extreme. We now have folks on the left saying, let's just have a reset. Let's just calm down and let folks live their lives.
So, President Trump was the first president to enter office supporting gay marriage. So from that perspective, I think that the Republicans took a different social context. There are a lot of Republicans who don't support that view, but I think that the majority of Americans do, and the polling shows that. That is a live and let live kind of thing. Or some of my friends say, let gay people get married and be just as miserable as all the other married people. So, and that's not something like, especially, that almost seems like more suburban rural to me, because in the suburbs, I think vast majorities of people, no matter what their party affiliation, support gay marriage. And then you go into rural areas and less so. But when it comes to some of these other social issues, okay, for example, you were talking about books in schools. Republicans really don't care what books you're reading. What we do care is taxpayer dollars putting books that are not age appropriate for kids in schools. So it shouldn't be, it's not appropriate. We don't think, the vast majority of people agree, that kindergartners, first and second graders should be reading graphic sexual novels. They just don't. So,
and they're not.
So they don't think that they should be in schools. Okay, that they should be part of the taxpayer funded education that they're getting. That's a widely held.
The folks belief. Who are elected want to make the decision for every parent in every district about what books are and are not on the shelves.
Not for the parents, but for the schools, for the taxpayers. What the taxpayers are paying for,
which are parents.
In school. Parents can buy those books for their kids. A kid can get on Amazon and get all these books, but that's different than providing it from the school, which is like an endorsement, right? If the school's providing it, it comes off as an endorsement. We don't allow them to watch sexual movies in school. Why would we allow them to have sexual books in school? It's a very similar tone. If you want to do that in your home, whatever. I mean, I might not think it's a great idea, but I don't control
it. I mean, there's plenty of folks who think, you know, reading a book to a second grader that has two characters who are both women, who are married and who are both moms to a child is some sort of moral judgment or endorsement, as you say, of the school. And it's one they disagree with. And to have politicians in Jefferson City deciding that that is, quote, inappropriate for children to read, as somebody who's gay married, it's incredibly insulting. It's incredibly offensive. It's not the least bit conservative. And it's part of the red herrings in this argument. Kids aren't sitting down and looking at pornographic material in schools. It's not happening. It's just not, you know, it's not happening. You send your kid to school, you know, it's not happening to your kid. It's a red herring for issues like trying to expose kids who are in first grade or second grade to the world around them, well, to the idea that every family looks different and that
I'm
they need
go
to
go back to something that was actually said on this show by someone on your team, that there was a book that they had to read about something that had happened and it was graphic in nature and how it triggered her. And as a high school student, she wasn't sure how to respond. And I think that that is an issue that hasn't been talked about. We do have kids in schools who have been subjected to things they shouldn't be subjected to as children. And now there's a book that everyone is reading that they got out of the library or that the teacher is having them read that talks about this. And the kid is not emotionally equipped to handle it. I don't think that these graphic novels, we're not going to be able to prove right here whether they're there or not. But I have seen evidence of these type of books in certain schools. I don't think schools should be providing that kind of literature to students. It is literature. If you as an adult want to provide it to your child, again, that's up to you. We're not trying to control that. We're not banning books. We're just saying that the schools shouldn't be providing graphic sexual books to the students in the school.
Would you be okay if it was a third grade reading book and it was a book about Ian and his husband? That okay?
It wouldn't bother me personally. I don't know that third grade, that seems kind of young to be talking about marital relationships. I just think that kids at that age are still trying to figure out.
Well, it's not a subject on marriage. I mean, it's not a treatise about the history of marriage. It's two adults walking down with the stroller, reading books, doing things that families do. And it might prepare them for seeing that on the sidewalk. It might prepare them for seeing that in church. It might prepare them from seeing that in the world, wherever it exists. That's what literature's for. Literature prepares you to process the world around you. And when we as a government restrict it and confine it, we make it more and more difficult. We make the problem worse. The problem we're sitting here talking about, polarization, that all gets worse and worse and worse the more we as politicians and government officials decide what kids and kids do and don't have access to.
It's a question of what's age appropriate. And I think it's hard to come to like where everyone.
And that's up to every parent and teacher to decide. That's not up to a politician
it's up to
decide.
Parent, not to the teacher. I mean, I think it should be more up to the parents to decide what is in front of their kids.
And that's
but
fair.
But the argument is like, we're
that's
about,
not what's
like,
happening.
Sex ed. OK, like I think parents should teach their kids about that. However, when you go to the real world, a lot of parents aren't. So you have to have this like, well, we got to give them something because otherwise some of them just aren't going to know. So it's like, well, what age is that appropriate? So those are valid things to talk about. But I think when it gets polarized is when you're like, well, they won't even let kids have any books to learn about the world. It's like, no, that's not the case. But it's got to be age appropriate. And it has to be.
Plenty of folks think 10 years old is too inappropriate to start sex ed. And yet we know, we've all seen the story, right? The girl's 10 years old in Indiana, raped and forced by the government to give birth. But we can't teach 10-year-olds about sex ed, right? So, again, politicians trying to make these decisions is just completely inappropriate.
A decision about sex ed based on one kid in one state, that's horrible. But do we make policy, broad policy across the country based on that one case? I mean, that seems a little extreme to me.
Quick answers here. We have 60 seconds left. Will Missourians be able to buy legal non-medical pot in the foreseeable future?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's going to pass. It's going to make a lot of people very wealthy
when
it does pass. So, yeah, it's going to pass.
It's going to cost me money. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, as always. 524 DGS. Do you guys see? Okay, you're going to think I'm going one way, and I'm not. There is a story in my show prep about a woman on TikTok, an anonymous woman, who posted a picture of one of the plus size models and said, this is not beautiful. We need to stop this. This is ugly and it's unhealthy. And now the internet's melting down. My point isn't whether, you know, big is beautiful or not. It's one anonymous woman said something and the world is responding. That's scary to me. That's crazy to me that we're so easily poked.
Is like the mission to find out who she is and stuff.
Probably.
But even just the fact that so many people are having that reaction to just like one random person who says something one off, and you don't even know if they're trolling or not because they're anonymous on the internet.
Like so someone in Milwaukee thinks that large people are unhealthy and not attractive. Okay.
And we all have to have an opinion. We all have to comment in some way.
But also in the same vein, like, why do you care enough to post something like that? Like,
it's kind of what I was talking about with Ian and Gene. Like, that's one thing I have trouble with the right. They seem to care too much about other people's morals. But I'm sure the left does it, too, where we've talked about transgender people. I got zero problem. But I understand why, especially if you're very religious, very conservative, why that's so different and weird to you, and you shouldn't have to say, I think it's wonderful. But you should have to say, go do what you want to do.
Well, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there.
You're kind of seeing what the left's sort of angle on, like, caring too much about stuff is simply by that. Simply by somebody completely anonymous on the internet says something dumb, and then everybody feels like they have to comment, they have to give their two cents, they have to pitch in. That's sort of on the left side of
that's a good point. Like, if someone thinks that large people are unhealthy and not beautiful, okay. Like, I disagree, but if that's what you want to feel, fine. Why do you have to force feed someone and make them say what you say, what you think? It doesn't make any sense to me. Andrew, we didn't hear much from you today. You want to talk about things we're bringing back and things we should bring back?
Yeah, we're bringing back the Tasmanian tiger. It's the same company that says they're going to bring back the mammoth, which I'm kind of
dubious.
Well, I'm kind of like, all right, you said you're going to bring back the mammoth. You haven't done it yet.
Are we going to eat the Tasmanian tiger, too?
Maybe. I just feel like maybe just
just bringing stuff back to eat it.
bring the mammoth back before you handle the Tasmanian tiger. Then we can talk about the Tasmanian tiger. But also, it's like, who's missing it? Right? Like, part of the reason that the Tasmanian tiger is extinct is because people just killed them all because they were, like, eating all the crops and, like, chickens and farm animals. So it's like, no one's missing them.
I'll say this. After COVID, I'm not as big a fan of bringing anything back.
It's fair.
You know? Maybe that's what wiped out the Neanderthals was some woolly mammoth disease.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.